I didn't introduce myself before. I dedicated a baby and nobody knew who I was. Like, who's that guy? He's just the guy with the mic. Okay. My name is Pastor Harris and I am the lead pastor. It's my honor today to bring God's word to you. And today is Palm Sunday. And some of us might not know what Palm Sunday is, so I'm very excited to teach on Palm Sunday. But God gave me a word for you today, church, that is much different than anything I've ever preached before on a Palm Sunday. So I'm very excited for what God is going to tell us. But you can't have a Palm Sunday, or you can't have a Good Friday without a Palm Sunday, and you can't have a Good Friday without having a Resurrection Sunday. Amen? Amen. So this is the beginning of Holy Week. The beginning of Holy Week. This is the beginning of God's triumphant entry into the holy city of Jerusalem, where they recognize him as king. Amen? Amen. Well, here we are, Palm Sunday. Today marks the beginning of Holy Week, like I just said. Today is the day that we remember and celebrate the day that Jesus entered into Jerusalem as Savior, as Messiah, and as King. As Jesus rode a donkey into the town of Jerusalem, a large crowd gathered and laid palm branches. That's why we put palm branches down this morning. And their cloaks. If anybody would like to take off their jackets and throw it down, you're more than welcome to this morning. But that's how Jesus entered in to the road, giving Jesus, back then, royal treatment. And that's what he deserves, amen? Amen. Say amen like you mean it. Come on, Pentecostals. It's Pentecostal church, isn't it? Amen. All right. Better. Much better. I feel better. You guys feel better? I feel better. Amen. John chapter 12, verses 12 and 13 in the NIV says, The next day the great crowd had come to the festival, heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and they went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the King of Israel! Amen. It was a beautiful and glorious celebration. They said, our king is here. He has come to free us from our enslavement. The promised Messiah for all these years has come to set us free. Let's celebrate. Amen? That's what we do on Sundays. Don't we celebrate our freedom in Jesus' name? On Sundays, don't we give him glory for what he's done and what he's going to do and when he's coming back again soon? If we don't, I don't know why we're here at church. Amen? Y'all can sit in a more comfortable chair at home. But man, it's time to celebrate with God's people. Praise God, praise God. Today's Palm Sunday, and it marks a wonderful and beautiful celebration. But what happened to the Sunday people? What happened to the ones celebrating the Messiah on Sunday for them to suddenly turn their backs on Jesus 5 days later, screaming, crucify him! Crucify him! We want Barabbas! Crucify Jesus! Have you ever asked yourself that question? If this was such a triumphal entry, then why did they crucify Jesus at the end of the week? Well, church, because Palm Sunday is a tale of two processions, a tale of two kingdoms. Let's pray. Father, we love you, and we ask that you anoint this service right now as you have already done. May you anoint the words that are coming out of my lips to preach the good news. God, I step out of the way, and I ask that you just step in. May these words be true and ring true from your holy word and from your spirit, God. May you open everybody's heart to receive this today, God. And I know that you're going to ask each and every one of us to make a choice today. And God, may we choose you and you alone forever and ever. We thank you for all that you are, all that you're doing, and we worship you. You are King Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, God's children said, amen. Will you please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 21? If you didn't bring a Bible, there's one right in front of you in the pew. If not, I'll have it behind me as well. See, this is the day that has been described by Christians for generations as the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. But there's a big problem, church, we're going to have to address today. If this is such a glorious Sunday for all of God's people, what went wrong by Friday that Jesus would find himself with five things happening. Number one, accused by a group of religious leaders. Number two, betrayed by one of his own disciples. Number three, arrested by the high priest guard. Number four, tried by a Roman governor. And number five, sentenced to a horrific death, the death of a criminal, the death of crucifixion. What went wrong in less than a week? Why did the crowds who adored Jesus on Sunday turn on him by Friday? What kind of king did they expect? What kind of kingdom did they want to follow? Here's a better question, church. What kind of king do you expect? What kind of kingdom do you want to follow? So let's read what was going on 2,000 years ago. Matthew chapter 21. I'm going to read the first nine verses in the NLT version. As Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to a town of Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them ahead. "Go into the village over there," he said. "As soon as they entered it, you will see a donkey tied there and the colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you are doing, just say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will immediately let you take them." This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, "Tell the people of Jerusalem, 'Look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. Verse 6. The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Verse 8. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the ground. Verse 9. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people around him were shouting, "Praise God for the Son of David! Blessed on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Praise God in the highest heaven!" Jesus was the center of this glorious procession coming into Jerusalem. What is a procession? This is what it is. It's an organized group of people moving forward for a ceremony or a festival. May I stop just for a moment and say this? Jesus, the Lamb of God, being born, living, dying, and being raised from the dead, fulfilled over 300 Old Testament prophecies that he would be the promised Messiah. 300. Now, I like math. I don't know about you, so I want to give you some probabilities real quick. Here's a probability. One person fulfilling 8 Old Testament prophecies to be the Messiah would be 1 in 100,000,000. That's 100 million, but we're going to keep going. 00, that's 100 billion. 00, I believe that's 100 trillion, and then there's 3 more zeros. 00, that's 0. That's 100 something. Now, one person fulfilling 48 Old Testament prophecies to be the Messiah is 1 in 10 to the 157th power. One person fulfilling 300 Old Testament prophecies to be the Messiah. That's only Jesus. We do not comprehend such a number here on planet Earth. Amen? So that's what's cool. We see right here, we see on Palm Sunday one of these very prophecies unfolding right before our eyes as we just read in Matthew 21. See, Jesus is quoting and following what Zechariah in the 9th chapter said. Zechariah chapter 9, verses 8, 9, and 10 says this, "I will guard my temple and protect it from the invading armies. I am watching closely to ensure no more foreign oppressors overrun my people's land. Rejoice," verse 9, "O people of Zion, shout in triumph," right? Talking to us, charismatics, amen? "Shout in triumph, O people of Israel, look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and he is victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. I will remove the battle chariots from Israel and the war horses from Jerusalem. I will destroy all the weapons used in battle, and your king will bring peace to all the nations. His realm will stretch from sea to sea and from the Euphrates all the way to the ends of the earth. Praise God, amen. We celebrate today on Palm Sunday the procession of the true Messiah, the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, Jesus, the Savior of the world. But did you know that Jesus' procession into Jerusalem was possibly not the only procession happening in that holy city that day? I was doing some research this week, and I was looking up, and I discovered something. In 30 AD, Roman historians recorded that the governor of Judea, Pontius Pilate, led a procession of a Roman cavalry and centurions into the city of Jerusalem as well. From the western side of the city, that's the opposite side of the city that Jesus came in, spears, bows and arrows, shields, armed guards, they all came in, riding on horseback or on foot. Each soldier was dressed for battle. They were dressed for war. This was no ordinary entry into Jerusalem. Pilate, as the governor of the region, knew it was a standard practice for the Roman governor of a foreign territory to be at its capital during all religious celebrations. See, at this time, do you remember what it was? What celebration were they doing? Passover. It was Passover for the Jews. So Pilate and the other Romans knew of this Jewish festival. They knew of its importance and about its symbolic meaning. The Romans were aware that this festival celebrated the liberation of the Jews from another empire long ago, the empire of Egypt. So Pilate, his procession into Jerusalem with the armed garrison was meant to send a message to the Jews. Any of you that are wanting to plot against this empire, Rome, we got something for you. This spectacle was meant to remind the Jews of what had happened years ago, the last time a wide-scale uprising took place. See, in 4 BC, there were cities that were destroyed. A king was killed, and over 2,000 rebellious Jews were crucified. Palm Sunday was undoubtedly a day of two processions. Two celebrations. Two different types of rulers for two different kingdoms. I want to speculate for a moment what happened from Sunday to Friday. The Jews wanted a military leader, we know that. They wanted Jesus, a king, to overthrow and overtake their oppressor, Rome. They expected this procession like that of Pontius Pilate, for Jesus to enter into Jerusalem like he did. They wanted Jesus to be who they wanted him to be, to accomplish their agenda, for their own interests and their own concerns to gain for their own. But Jesus in the King of God, in the kingdom of God, does not work that way, does it, church? If you've been a Christian any longer than you know that your will is not going to be done. It's God's will. That's not how the kingdom of God works. The king that God's people needed was to come humble. Not on a war horse, but on a slow-moving donkey. Pilate, like the world we live in, sends a message of power and might, self-love, and with little to no love for anyone else. Jesus, riding on a young donkey, embodies the message of peace and calmness, the message of wholeness, a message from God. The Jewish people wanted Jesus to cause a revolt against the oppressors, Rome. We got to rise up, take over, right? That's what they wanted. Amen? They wanted their freedom back by using force. But Jesus caused a different kind of revolt against the oppression. He freed all mankind of sin and death by using servanthood and sacrifice. The Jews wanted a cosmetic change to occur, right? How many of us in our life like to have microwave faith? Right? I mean, I want a quick change in my life. And if I don't get that, I'm moving on. They wanted a cosmetic change, something to occur cosmetically, quickly. But Palm Sunday teaches us the greatest change should come from the heart. See, with a heart change, we can go from saying, "Crucify Jesus," to "Father, forgive them," quicker than 5 days. The Jews became afraid of what the world would think of them. Big problem, isn't it? You agree? 5 people agree. It's awesome. The rest of y'all don't agree. I hope you agree by the end of this sermon that the Jews were concerned what the world thought about them. God's people were concerned what the evil world thinks about them. That's not all right. Amen? Amen. Awesome. See, the Jews were afraid of what the world would think of them. They were afraid of what kind of things could happen to them if they followed Jesus and his procession. Church, did you know that right now, probably but by the time I'm done preaching, there'll be multiple people being beheaded for their beliefs in the world. And yet we are so set on what? God, what can you give me in America? The Jews in this day, man, we can relate with. I'm so worried about what's going to happen to me when people right now are confessing their faith and their daddy or mommy is standing in front of armed people and they're looking at their kid and they said, "Say you don't serve Jesus and you will live." And they look at their son and say, "I serve Jesus and I will follow him forever." And right in front of their son or daughter, killed. That happens every day. Every day. We are blessed to live in a free nation. But let me tell you, persecution is on its way. Persecution is knocking in our government, knocking on your TV screens, knocking in the generations below us, in front of us, and around us. Knocking in the school systems, knocking everywhere. See, the followers so worried about what the world would think of them. They're afraid of what kind of things would happen to them if they'd follow Jesus and his procession. What I believe happened from Sunday to Friday, I believe is happening in the world today. Followers of God shying away from their full gospel truth of what the Bible teaches. Afraid of what might happen to them if they rise up in righteousness. What we're seeing today is a confused, selfish church that looks like the world. Not a sacrificial church for the world. We want to fit in and not stand up. We don't want to offend anybody instead of rising up. The Jews were just like that on Holy Week. Jesus didn't give their flesh everything they hoped for. He wasn't going to rise up and take over the Roman Empire so they can live like they want to. So, what they did from Sunday to Friday is they turned their backs on Jesus and they chose to follow the procession of Pontius Pilate. See, these two processions that day represented more than just a celebration, church. It divided God's people and the rest of the world into two kingdoms. I want to take a moment and break down the differences between the two processions. I want to break down the difference between the two kingdoms that we're talking about today. See, the kingdom of God, it's an upside-down kingdom. One that conquers not by reign and rule of the sword, but one that reigns and rules with love and sacrifice. The kingdom of this world trusts in the power of the sword, but the kingdom of God trusts in the power of the cross. The kingdom of this world exercises power over, but the kingdom of God exercises power under. The kingdom of the world says, advance your own will by increasing your own interests. The kingdom of God says, advance God's will by sacrificing your own interests. The kingdom of the world says, advance your own people group, your own ethnicity, your own ideologies, your own political agenda. The kingdom of God says, advance the love of God by loving one another. It says, love everyone no matter their outward difference, like Christ loves you. Christ came for all, died for all, to love all so we can share with all. The kingdom of the world says, fight to get on top. Fight your enemies. Strive to always conquer. Return evil for evil and violence for violence. Bunch of hate, man. Bunch of hate. But the kingdom of God says, love your enemies. The greatest is the least. And bless those who persecute you. Return good for the evil that they give you and pray for your enemies. See, the kingdom of the world is visible, easy to see. But the kingdom of God is invisible. The kingdom of the world fights earthly battles, flesh and blood. But the kingdom of God fights no earthly enemies. It fights spiritual forces by heavenly means. These two kingdoms are always at odds with each other. 2,000 years ago was the start of the church choosing who they will celebrate with, who they will follow. If we choose to follow the procession of Jesus, we choose to stand in confrontation of the power of this day. Man, it's way too quiet in here. If I was that quiet preaching right now, y'all be bored. You'd be falling asleep. Can I get a hallelujah real quick?
Hallelujah!
All right, we're awake. Amen. See, 2,000 years ago was the start of not the world, but the church choosing who they will celebrate with. If we choose to follow the procession of Jesus, we choose this, to stand in confrontation to the powers of this day. This Palm Sunday, as a reminder, was Christ's triumphant entry into Jerusalem. But let us also remember something else, church. This kingdom he ushered in was also counterculture to the kingdom of Pontius Pilate. Say counterculture with me, please. Counterculture. The world is full of moral relativism. But Jesus stands on moral absolutes. There's no gray with Jesus. When do we turn Jesus into a hippie and just accept all for all, everything's fine? You know what I mean? I blame the 60s. Who lived in the 60s? Raise your hand. You're in trouble this morning. Come on. What just happened? I'm an 82 model, man. I don't know about that stuff. Peace, man. What y'all saying? You're just, what? Wasn't that bad? Okay. He had a good time. We'll pray for him after service that there's no bondage from the 60s still happening in his life. Amen. Jesus says there's a different kind of free love. Man, we're all mixed up in this world right now. All mixed up. One of my friends I went to Bible college with for 1 year. I just saw this morning on Facebook that he's now wanting to be a woman, transgender. I'm blown away. His dad's a prophet, been prophesying and going to different churches over and over and over again. See, it's because who are we following? What procession are we following? I'm going to go there real quick. No, I'm not mad at homosexuals. I'm not mad at transgenders. I'm not mad at people who have abortions. See, we treat people, homosexual people, like, because right now I know it's pushing against the church real hard, and it is. It's true. They're knocking at the door saying, man, we got to put stuff in place because they're going to want to be married, and then they're going to sue if you don't marry them, and why are you doing all this stuff? But see, how from the pulpit can we be mad at homosexuals when we have people who are heterosexuals sleeping with each other? Jesus came and he spoke to people. He spoke to the woman at the well, and he said, go get your husband. He said, I don't have a husband. You're right, you have five, and the one you're with right now is not your husband. Go and sin no more. See, the sin is not homosexual sin. The sin is being idolatrous in the fact that you're sleeping with somebody you ain't married with. It don't matter if it's a man or a woman, it's wrong. Right? But we're all mixed up like we're mad. Oh man, I can't believe that somebody be gay, but you're sleeping with your girl. You have a log in your eye, right? And then we have people that are wanting to be men who are born women, and women wanting to be men, and you ain't never going to change your chromosomes. I don't care how many surgeries you have. It's XX or XY, so you can do whatever you want. God made you the way you are. But the thing is, we're confused because we don't have any moral absolutes anymore, because we keep following whoever we want to follow, especially in America. I don't see too much of this anywhere else in the world right now. Maybe in Europe a little bit. You do that in the Middle East, they kill you. They kill you like that. Nobody's like that. Even if they are wanting to be like that, they ain't going to tell nobody. Man, we proclaim it. We celebrate it. Celebrate it. We put a procession on it. Church, we can't be mad at that. What are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? Do you ever ask yourself that? What am I going to do about it? Man, get mad all you want and yell at your TV and look at the kids of this day and whatever you want to do. But what you going to do about it? Jesus did something about it. He told truth. He loved everyone. And he went to a woman who was sinning, just like he went to all kinds of people. And he said, go and sin no more, because there's something else for you. It's not like they're just totally against the church. We should be mad at them. They're lost. Lost people that need a Jesus that's coming on a donkey that we're going to celebrate. That's what they need. They don't have peace in their heart. They're confused. And I can say this because I'm a preacher. We've confused them from the pulpit. We haven't taught moral absolutes truth. Sin is sin in God's eyes. This highlighted, this greasy grace junk that's been preached from the pulpit is wrong. Yes, Jesus died for all, that you won't be you anymore. Not that he died for all so you can do whatever you want. That's not how that works. Bunch of people going to go to heaven one day, and he's going to go, I don't even know you. I don't even know you. Man, I've been celebrating the church for how long? But you never gave up anything for me. Look at the first church. They gave up everything. They died for a person. They died for Jesus. They gave up everything. Everything that they have. And they followed him with all that they had. But we're too busy wanting to hold on to our cigarettes. Hold on to our alcohol. Hold on to our sexual identity. Hold on to whatever relativism in our life is, or hold on to whatever the world says. Man, the Bible talks about you're going to sway back and forth with the teachings of this world, like you're in an ocean, like you're in a sea. We're just repeating the same life that Jesus lived around. Man, there was orgies. There was sex, there was homosexuality, celebrated to the point where you could go to a temple of a pagan god, and there's people just sleeping around all the time, and we think this is some new thing. No. This has been battling for years and years and years, because there's a tale of two processions, church. There's a tale of two processions. This ain't shocking Jesus right now. I think one of the things that hurts Jesus is the church is not being the church like they should be. You can never do anything with boldness without the power of the Holy Ghost. You gotta be filled up with the presence of the Spirit of God. And if you just keep going in this world and you feel like you're swaying back and forth, that's because you're not in your word, you're not on your knees, and you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's it. And you wonder why you don't know what's going on. You're confused because you watch TV 10 times more than you read your word. You talk to people at work that don't even know what they're talking about. They're going to change their mind in 5 years when somebody else tells them what to follow. But you're talking to them more than you're talking to people at church. But more people, you're talking to people in the world and you're getting their opinions over godly opinions. We're confused. We're confused. But this world who's lost and dying, this Palm Sunday does not need a confused church. It needs a sacrificial one. It needs one with truth to stand up. I'm saying, don't you get on no soapbox, stand on the street corner and say, turn or burn. They ain't going to get nobody saved. You're going to push them farther from Jesus, and that's going to be on your head. You'll answer for that. You'll answer for that when you meet Jesus one day, but we'll also answer for all the things we didn't do. I don't know why I preach that. That ain't nothing to do with today, but I'm telling you, this is on my heart lately. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. All right, where are we at? Oh, that's probably because I said these two words, counter-cultural kingdom. The life that we live in moral relativism, but Jesus stands on moral absolutes. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15, 16, and 17 says this. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, man, we just skip over this. I'm going to slow this down. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. Verse 16. Now, there ain't nobody perfect. There's a preacher today here standing before you right now, and I am not perfect. I'm not perfect. That's why I need a perfect Savior. He's got to burn that out of me. Verse 16, for everything in the world, the lusts of the flesh and the lusts of the eyes and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires, they will pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Okay, so we can debate all day. I mean, I'm a millennial, I'm the beginning of the millennials. And what we like to do is question everything. Question everything. Sometimes, you know, generations before me, I just want to let you know, just because we question something doesn't mean we're being disrespectful. We just sometimes want to know why we do what we do and why you believe what you believe. You better get ready for some answers. And if you're not ready for some answers, millennials will not listen to you. That's just plain and simple, right? Sometimes they are being disrespectful just because they just want to question themselves, right? I want to question everything. That's what it feels like. But here's the problem. Here's the thing that I've come to a conclusion about is Paul says all things are beneficial or all things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial. All things are permissible. Drinking. You know, having friends and going places and maybe ministry places or going to, I mean, there's things that are permissible, but is it beneficial? Here's what Jesus talked about more than anything in the whole Bible. Your heart. Why are you drinking? Why are you hanging out with those people? Why are you saying those crude jokes? Why are you doing those things? Why are you thinking that way? That is the heart where we should be. You can answer anything. Well, man, that's up for discussion. Well, I just want to ask you a question. Why do you want to do that? And if you answer it, well, because it makes me feel good, then you've already answered what procession you follow. Because if Jesus today stood before you right now and he said, give up every worldly pleasure that you have, sell everything that you have, because he said it to a guy once, rich young ruler, sell everything that you have and come and follow me, would you do it? Would you do it? Would you do it? Like honestly, yeah. No, would you? Would you sell your house, your cars? You take maybe a suitcase with just a couple things of clothes and go to Southern Africa. South Africa or Asia or China or Russia, right? Or go somewhere. Would you sell everything and go somewhere with God? Or go downtown Chicago? Would you do that? See, everything boils down to this. Where's your heart, church? Because where your heart is, that's what you'll follow. And God's word says, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Sometimes you go, oop, I can't believe I said that. Well, God can because it was in your heart. Well, you got to clean it out. See, and the world will just muddy up God's position in your heart. He'll muddy up that living water. The world will mess things up. See, the world loves power, loves prestige, loves money, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19, 20, and 21 says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality. What is that? If you define it, it's sex outside of marriage. No matter what it is, that's what it is. I don't care if it's guy, girl, it doesn't matter. Sex outside of marriage is sexual immorality, and it even takes place in your mind. Jesus said it's not just the act, it's the thoughts. Moving on. Impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, that's worshiping anything above God, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again. Man, if they're repeating themselves, you better be listening. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Forgive me, God, for anything I've ever done like that. God, break our hearts for that. You hate that. You died that we don't have to live like that. Galatians chapter 5, a few verses later in verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed their passions and their desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. We talked a lot about the procession of Pontius Pilate, what the kingdom of the world looks like. Let's talk about what the kingdom of God looks like. See, Jesus taught us in just a few verses exactly what the kingdom of God looks like. It's called the Beatitudes. Matthew. Anybody named Matthew in here? Just felt like you got in trouble? Matthew! See one right there. Matthew! Chapter 5. Oh, whew. Verses 3 through 12. I'm going to read out the NLT. God's word says this. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Verse 4, God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who are hungry and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. Verse 7, God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. Verse 9, God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. And verse 11 and 12. God blesses you. Say me. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. See how it's an upside-down kingdom? This world say, no, 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 I'm going to get even with them. I ain't going to get angry, I'm going to get even. Be glad, be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. Starting to wrap up. The constant contrast between the kings and kingdoms was on display that first Palm Sunday. as much as I believe it is on this Palm Sunday. Everyone has a choice to choose. And I have all eyes here real quick. Everyone, you and 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 you. Everyone has a choice to choose. There is one of two processions you are following. You are following the kingdom of the world, or you are following the kingdom of God. In a lot of ways, you can look at the road from Palm Sunday to Good Friday as we can look at our journey with God here on earth. Our life looks like Palm Sunday to Good Friday. See, from the day of your salvation, from the very last day that you breathe your last before you go into glory, there will be ups, there will be downs. There will be hurts, there will be persecution. But church, let me tell you something. Sunday's coming. Resurrection power is coming. Our King, He's coming again, and He's coming soon. Hosanna in the highest. Can you say that? Say, Hosanna in the highest. So before we go, I want to encourage you. Don't get lost in the celebration one day and forget about the consecration on another. Don't get lost in the celebration and forget your sanctification. Don't get lost in celebration and forget your dedication. See, there's been many earthly kings that have conquered and defeated many great nations. There's been empires that have taken over the world. Great kings. But there has never been a king like King Jesus. Revelation chapter 17, verse 14 says this in the NIV. They will wage war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will triumph over them because He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. It doesn't stop there though. And with Him will be His called, His chosen, His faithful followers. Church, follow. Followers of Jesus. Do not get lost in following the wrong procession. I implore you to come and follow Jesus and follow Him alone. Amen? I want to ask you to do one more thing. If you're a follower of Jesus and you want to follow His procession, please stand to your feet. Worship team, you may come up. I want to read you something out of God's Word. If you're a follower of Jesus. If you're not, that's fine. I'm just talking to the followers right now. That's it. I'm talking to the ones that want to celebrate even if persecution comes. I'm talking to the ones that want to sacrifice their flesh for the kingdom of God. I'm talking to the ones that want to give their whole life. And if it took you down the path where you literally had to be killed for your faith, that you would still follow the procession of Jesus. I'm talking to you today. In 2 Timothy chapter 4. There are some verses I would like to read to you today that I pray not only stirs your heart, but maybe be something that you will do for the rest of your life. Can I say this before we do that? I'm no greater Christian than you are. I'm not. Just because God's given me a weapon, preaching, even if God has given me this, it's good, you're good, right here. God's given me this weapon. God's also given you weapons for the kingdom of God. They don't have to look like me. A preacher standing in this pulpit is not the only one that preaches the gospel. You preach the gospel every day you're alive at every moment, and you disciple everyone that follows you or is around you. You're a disciple, you're an ambassador, and you're a preacher of God's word in all that you do and everywhere that you go. That is who you are, and your tools and your weapons might be different than mine. Mine, God has used me at this time in my life, which hasn't always been, to be a mouthpiece for him, to preach the good news to God's church, to stir them up, to get them off of the pews and into the people. And if you don't do that, I feel like I've failed God. But that is my job. That is my responsibility. Some of y'all are really good with your hands. You can build and make anything. You can fix anything. And you think, but you're timid and you don't know how to talk to people. Jesus was a carpenter. He used his hands for the kingdom of God even when he wasn't talking to people. We get lost in this celebration of people behind pulpits. Listen, if I'm not this guy when I'm that guy, ooh, shame on me. Shame on me. Shame on me. If you're not this person when you're out there, shame on you. Shame on you, but I'm here to tell you, you can be. Use everything God has given you. If you're kind and caring, if you're thoughtful, use it for the kingdom of God. If you're good with your hands, use it for the kingdom of God. If you're good at sports, use it for the kingdom of God. If you're good at speech, use it for the kingdom of God. Whatever, if you're intelligent and you work on computers or you work on some sort of graphs or do something, use it for the kingdom of God. Everything you do should be for the kingdom of God. You are preaching every day, and sometimes you use words. Amen? These people agreed. Where you at? My left side. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Come on. Come on. When you say amen, that means I agree. I agree. If that's you today, I want. Please don't put on this. Oh, you don't even know about it. I wrote it down. We're good. Say, don't put it on the screen. He's like, good, because I have no idea where you're going. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I want to read you some verses. I'm going to start in verse 2. Please look at me. Preach the word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. Who's your people? Anybody you know. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires, and they will look for teachers who will tell them what their itching ears want to hear. Give us God. Verse 4. They will reject the truth, and they'll chase after myths. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid for suffering for the Lord. Work on telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. You just came on a donkey, upside down kingdom. Took 4 days before he was arrested. Took 5 days before he was beat, crucified, and all his followers scattered, and no one stood there to protect him, to be around him, or even stand up for him. There's two ways to learn, church, in this world. There's the hard way, and there's the easy way. You either learn on your own mistakes, or you learn on someone else's. Church, do not learn on. Do not follow their mistake 2,000 years ago. Follow Jesus. Follow him with all that you are. Follow the procession of Jesus, even if it takes you somewhere that's not favorable. Because let me tell you, it's the greatest journey that you will ever be on for all of eternity. He will lead you into eternity. There are people each and every day that must hear the gospel. And sometimes you're going to talk about it. And sometimes you're not. And you're just going to show them with your life. You are a preacher of God's word. And today you say, Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! The Lamb of God is here! The Savior of the world is here! We will celebrate you, God! And God, we're going to do something even greater. We will not turn our back on you on Friday. We won't do it. No matter if all the other people in Israel will talk about us, maybe persecute us, kick us out, even if our families will hate us, we will follow you forever. As worthy as King Jesus, worthy, worthy is Jesus, worthy is Jesus, worthy is Jesus, worthy is Jesus. I'm going to do something different here. There are people in here today that need to hear a message like this. Because you keep jumping in and out of processions and you don't even know who you're following. You're confused. I'm a Christian on Sunday, but I don't know who I am by Tuesday. But I'll be a Christian again on Wednesday if I come Wednesday. Or if I'm around the right people, I'm those people. Jesus didn't die for that. Jesus died that you could be his forever, every day, of every hour, of every minute, of every second. I'm going to ask somebody in here today, that's you today, and you have not solidified your faith and you've been following the wrong procession. Jesus ain't mad at you. You know why I know that? He wrote a sermon through me for you today. It's for you. He loves you. He believes in you. And he wants you to come back and follow him. If that's you today and you know that's on your heart, will you please come down here and meet me at the palm branches real quick? I just want to pray for you. And the church is going to celebrate in a moment. Say, I'm going to follow you with all that I am. Come on. I know there's people in here. Don't you act like there ain't. Come on. Jumping in and out, acting two different people, but you're going to be one follower today. If that's you today, come on. Here's your chance. Listen, you might die tomorrow. The Bible says that you're not promised tomorrow. Each breath in our lungs, this might be the last. And if this is the last time that you could do it, this is the day. Change your life forever. Follow. Come on. Come on. Join a good group up here. That's you. You know it. God's tugging on your heart right now. You're resisting. All the take that left foot, put it forward right now. Boom. Forward. That's it. That's it. There it is. That's it. That's it. That's it. Amen. 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 Come on down. All are welcome to the cross of Jesus. And he doesn't take us when we get cleaned up. He takes us right where we're at. How dirty we are, how messed up we are, our minds are all over the place. God takes us exactly how we are, and he changes us into the image of his son Jesus. That's how that works. Ain't nobody perfect. God loves you so much. And he wants you to follow his procession the rest of your life. That you're not going to sway back and forth anymore. You're not going to go back and forth, back and forth. That you're going to follow him with all that you are. And you're never going to go back and forth with someone else or some other teaching. You're going to get in God's word. And I believe he's going to keep you. And he's going to just love on your life. And you're going to follow after him. Even if you don't believe everything that he's saying or you don't quite understand it all. God doesn't mind questions. I saw something last night that I have a son, and he asks me a lot of questions. And when he asks me questions, I don't get mad at him. Don't you ask me questions. See, God is a God in heaven that likes questions just like I do. Son, I'd rather you ask me than ask anyone else because I want to answer to the best of my ability. That's what God's telling you today. You ask God, you just keep asking those questions. You just keep asking and asking and asking. He loves those questions because he loves you. I want you to follow this procession the rest of your life. So you need to make a dedication in your heart and in your mind, no matter what your friends say, no matter what your coworkers say, what your neighbor says, even your family, whatever they say, no matter what past you have, right now, may it be washed by the blood of Jesus right now. Make it clean. Make it clean. Will you extend your hands out like this right now, like you're going to receive something? Like God's going to put something in your hands? Father in heaven, we love you and we thank you. We receive your word today. We want to come and follow you with all that we are, with all that we have. Lord, I thank you for the procession that you had 2,000 years ago coming and showing us what your kingdom is like. It's a kingdom that wasn't going to be taken over with one ruler and then taken over again and again and again. It wasn't a cosmetic kingdom. It was an eternal kingdom. It was one that was won by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one that even death and hell could not hold. It was a kingdom of peace. And right now, as they have their hands out to you, I pray for the peace of God to fall upon them. From the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, Prince of Peace, may you speak to them right now. Spirit of the living God, just be in that heart and that mind. There is chaos somewhere in that mind and heart. There's something that is confusing them, Lord. Whatever it is, God, I pray that right now you rip it from the roots. Rip it out. Don't you mow it over, God. You just rip it out and you plant something new there, God. Plant your mercy and your peace and your grace and your boldness and your strength. Place it right there and let it grow into a glorious and beautiful tree that produces fruit. Fruit that remains. God, as they come today, this is a declaration. Stance. They're going to stand for something new in their life. Holy Spirit, right now, from the top of their heads, I'm going to touch your head, top of their heads right now, Spirit of the living God, top of their heads right now, fill them, fill them, fill them with the fire and the presence of the Holy Spirit to give them boldness that we read about in God's word, that they will go out and preach the good news. They will not be afraid of any man, but be afraid of God. Give them the boldness right now. Fill them with fire in the name of Jesus. Right now, God, may they do everything in truth and love, just like you did, Jesus. Rebuke, correct, and love. God, as we're here today, celebrate you. That's why we're here. Celebrate you. And as you gave everything you are on the cross as a sacrificial giving for us, these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 people are sacrificing their wills, their emotion, and their future, and their thoughts and their desires to you right now. May you teach them the ways of your kingdom. We love you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Church, will you celebrate with them? Us a wonderful thing this morning, coming back to him. See, God is a God not of the second chances, man. There's a God of so many chances. And I want to tell you, all 11 of you and anyone else who didn't come up or has any questions, you call this office anytime you need. Pastor Cody be glad to answer the questions in the name of Jesus. Just joking, I'll answer them too. But if there's anything that you need, if you need strength or you need something, call the office. We believe in prayer. We have a prayer chain email going around. If you're not on that email, give us your email address. We pray for people every single week with needs. And if your need is literally, I'm struggling, I don't know who I'm following, I don't know what I'm doing, there's a bondage in my life that needs to be broken, you just send it to us. That's what we're here for. It says pray for one another. And we'll send it out to all the saints that want to pray, and we'll send it to them. We'll get it on Facebook. We'll pray in the office. We'll do whatever we got to do, because God conquers all. Amen? And a lot of times, he helps us through one another. Right? We're a family. Let's fight together. Amen? Amen. We love you. And we're going to sing a worship song before we go. Let's celebrate King Jesus. Amen? Amen. We love you. Change the world. The world changer lives in you.
I want to scream it out. From every mountaintop, your goodness knows no bounds. Your goodness never stops. Your mercy follows me. Your kindness fills my life. Your love amazes me. And I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good, you are good to me. And I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you You are good. You are good to me. So good. So good, so good, so good, loving Father. Come on, just fill the room with praise one more time before we dismiss today. Oh, King Jesus. Oh, be magnified. Oh, be magnified, my King. Hallelujah. Bless your name, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Almighty.